Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
Jean Marie will not be with us today. She's got a headache. And collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking with Zach. Zach is 35 years old and recently underwent a successful, sit down, folks, this is a big one, 5-organ multivisceral intestinal transplant surgery at the Toronto General Hospital in his hometown, in his home country of Canada. Zach is joining us today to talk about his multivisceral transplants. Thank you for joining us today, Zach.
Yeah, thanks for joining the show, and we are eager to hear all about it.
For sure. So what part of Canada are you from, Zach?
I'm originally from Ottawa, but I'm currently in Toronto right now to stay close to the transplant center and the transplant doctors.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. We started this program, you may not be aware of this, in 2018 because of an organ transplant that my cousin had. And when we found out how much there is to know about an organ transplant, we decided that we would start a podcast to let other people know so that they wouldn't be like in the dark or confused a little bit more.
Kind of know what to expect.
That's how it started.
Yeah, right.
And to hear about your 5-organ transplant, I'm pretty excited to hear about this. So let's start by saying how jealous I am. You can watch the Great Pottery Throwdown in Canada. We can't see that from here. And there are many other notable Canadian programs that we are unlucky enough to not be able to see. But could you tell us what led you to receive your stomach, small intestine, large intestine, liver, and pancreas transplants?
Well, at the age of 15, I had a huge change in my health. As it turned out, I had a genetic disease that came on in puberty, and it quickly led to many hospitalizations and surgeries and eventually full intestinal failure. And I've been dealing with that most of my life for the past 20 years now. And it took everything from me. And the truth is, my family and I, we didn't even think I would survive to this point. And when transplant came up, although it was very scary, it offered hope. And I began pursuing it.
Now, it's great that you did. I've got a question about the donors, but when you found out, was it one at a time, or
as far as organ failure?
Yeah, or was it multiple organs at one time, or all 5 at once, or what? I mean, that's a lot. So, I mean, you've really underwent a lot, but was it one at a time, or?
It happened over time through partly through emergency surgeries and experiences that happened. So I lost the use of my colon and I had an ileostomy by the age of 20. And then over the ensuing next 5 years, I lost the ability to eat and even drink. So I had to live with constant pain, constant nausea, very low energy. I wasn't able to live much of a life. I was a palliative patient.
Wow.
What was the genetic condition that brought all this on?
It's quite a mouthful. It's called hollow visceral myopathy. It's a form of chronic intestinal pseudo-obstruction.
Okay.
And that's basically the gastroparesis throughout the gut that moves food from one end of the system to the other. Mine, at the very best, worked about 20% and less and less and less over the years.
Okay.
To the point that I couldn't even drink water.
Right. Wow.
So how would you get your nutrients?
You had to have tube feeding, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I started out with tube feeding when my system still worked. See, the thing about tube feeding is you still need peristalsis throughout the gut. But pretty quickly, I had to come to rely on intravenous feeds.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So that's total parenteral nutrition, which fortunately, it's come a very long way. TPN used to be terrible for the liver, and my liver did almost fail in my mid to late 20s, but there's been some recent major breakthroughs with the formula where by the time I got my transplant, my liver was actually in such good shape that they had to do the liver biopsy twice because they thought they had got the wrong test because it was in such good shape by that point.
Well, that's a piece of good news for sure.
Right.
So I'm assuming then, because this has happened over time, that you had multiple donors for the different transplants that you needed? No?
No, no.
Even though this happened over time,
you got it. Because of the way the immune system works. Sorry.
No, no. I guess I'm really shocked. If it happened...
He had surgeries over time, but yeah. I think the transplants were all at once, right?
Yeah, all five organs happened at one time. So, and from one patient, and obviously that person's not with us anymore. And I'm incredibly grateful that they signed up to be a donor. They changed my life in ways I never could have imagined. And because of the way the immune system works, you can't have multiple organs in the body all fighting each other and fighting each other's immune systems. They even had to, they took out my spleen when they did the transplant as well, which is where a lot of my immune system resides. So I have a much lowered immune system from what I used to have so that, and I take medication as well to keep my immune system from rejecting the other organs and right. Vice versa.
Right. Right. That I definitely remember the anti-rejection medication when the pharmacist came in to talk to us about my cousin's liver transplant. He had, I don't know, you're from Canada, but I'm a fisher woman. I fish. He brought in this tackle box. That's what it was. And he said, this is what you'll be needing for your medication. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. What the heck is he talking about? There were so many medications. I mean, like 20 or more. And her pill box was actually a tackle box.
Wow.
And that was just for one organ. I'm sure that they probably treat you the same because you got all the organs from the one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you would have to take more or less. It's just what you got to do. And then we also learned things like you should not be drinking ice from ice machines at fast food places because they don't really clean them that well. I mean, These are all very well-known things, but we don't think about them.
Right.
And
you can never have sushi.
Never have sushi, right. Be very cautious about catching any diseases because your immune system is rock bottom just to keep you alive.
So I'm assuming you're uber careful about going out if you go out at all because of what's out there.
Yeah, got to wash hands all the time, and I still wear a mask quite frequently. So people who got used to that during COVID, that's sort of my life all the time.
Right, right. Yeah, I actually do also. I wear a mask whenever I'm out in public. Zach, what was the biggest misconception about organ transplants that you have had?
That I've had? Just that it was going to be possible and that it would change my life quite as much as it did. I mean, I'm only 2 weeks out of the hospital now, just over 4 months out of surgery. But I went from not eating anything, being sick every day, to having a full food diet and slowly but surely beginning to build a life back again from nothing. So it's been quite miraculous that it can change as much as it can.
Right. We had never really thought about, you know, intestinal transplants. We've heard of fecal transplants, but the whole intestine, that had to be, I mean, we know that they try to match organ, body shape. So whoever you received your organs from had to have about the same body shape as well. Otherwise, all that wouldn't have fit in you.
Yep.
So there was a lot that had to go into this planning stage for your medical team. Did they advise you at all? I know this was not in the script, but I'm just curious. You said that they took your spleen out, and that's where most of your, what did you say? That's where most of your...
Most of my immune system.
Okay. But what about the genetics that at first destroyed your organs? Will those genetics destroy these organs in time?
No, it's the smooth muscle throughout the gut that was affected by my genetic disease.
Okay, so once
the smooth
they took
muscle
those out,
is
okay.
What creates the peristalsis. It's what surrounds your bladder and makes you go pee when you're not pushing.
Right.
So it's the like automatic muscles, essentially.
Got it.
And since they've pretty much removed most of the diseased tissue, I don't really have the same issue anymore.
Got it.
I still have the same bladder.
Mm-hmm.
My esophagus, down, I think about 3/4 of the way is still the same, but everything else essentially has been replaced.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
All right.
So actually I have another question that's not necessarily on the script. Sorry. But you had the procedure done at, I think it was Toronto General.
Yep. They're amazing.
An organ transplant is one thing. Multiple organ transplants, obviously much more rare. Five. Is that the first time it was done at this hospital, or is this something that, I mean, they're well known for?
Well, fortunately, it's one of the top transplant centers in the world, and they have done a few other transplants that are quite large. But this is certainly one of the largest ones that they've done. Like, they only do something like this every 5 or 6 years so far.
Okay.
I did get to meet another patient who certainly helped me make my decision. And he had gotten a 4-organ transplant about 15 years ago. And just, it happens now. I when I first heard about it and they first suggested it, it sounded crazy to me.
Sounded kind of like science fiction, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it started off, it was just, we're gonna replace the small intestine and large intestine. And then they're like, okay, well, your stomach is pretty messed up, so we got to replace your stomach.
Wow.
And then eventually another meeting, and they were like, okay, well, the modern medicine shows that if we replace the liver, despite the fact that your liver is in good shape, it actually helps with the hybridization of the immune system and leads to a longer term, better result.
Okay.
So the organs just kept going up basically each time I had a meeting with the doctors.
So I'm curious now, with having all 5 of those replaced, how long was your surgery?
I believe it was around 13 to 14 hours. Now, obviously, I wasn't awake for it, but yeah, like it's one of the longer surgeries that you can undergo. I went in like first thing in the morning at 7, and yeah, came out quite late at night. Wow. And
well, it certainly sounds like you had one of the best hospitals in the world, as you mentioned. So you were in good hands. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I also, the doctors there, like that was certainly one of the reasons why I decided to get my transplant where I got it. Just incredible superhero doctors.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. A few minutes ago, you mentioned that you're able to eat regular food now.
Yep.
Okay. So what's your favorite food, or what is it that you haven't had yet that you're just can't wait to eat?
Well, first, people think like, you know, you haven't eaten for a long time, you want to get back to food, but I had a really bad relationship with food for a very long time. So when I first got back to food, it was a struggle. Like that's what everyone is really surprised to hear. Like it was not enjoyable. I was not hungry. I had to force food down my gullet. Hospital food is very not great. But at this point, I am finally starting to enjoy it. So one of the first meals I had going out was soup dumplings, which were incredible. Chinese soup dumplings. Yeah. And one of the first things I wanted to make was my Grandma Bobby's meatloaf recipe. The secret is tomato soup, both in the meatloaf and as the glaze on top instead of tomato sauce.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, that's good. And you were in the hospital for what, 4 months?
For almost 4 months. 3 months, 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hospital food in itself isn't really worth looking forward to, but I'm glad that now you're out and you can get back into regular food.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this is a medical show, and I personally have been having problems on the intestinal end. We're working on that. But has that started working as well now that you're eating normal foods?
It's getting better over time, certainly.
Okay. That I'm looking forward to. If it ever gets normal again, I will have a party. Well, now that we have a little bit of background information, it's time to talk about our own initiative. To better serve our listening audience, we are an affiliate of a major medical supplier here in the United States, and you'll find affiliate links on our website, podcastdx.com. They aim to tailor specific medical supplies and equipment based on your diagnoses and to make it less stressful than looking through an entire catalog for what you need. We're open to suggestions, and we'll adjust our offerings based on what you, our listeners and guests, find helpful. But now let's return to our show. Jack, what inspired you to share your story on social media? Because I found you on TikTok.
Well, I started doing some videos before I had the transplant, and I just really wanted to have a record of what life was like before. And I also wanted to start to make something useful out of this very unproductive period of my life that I've just gotten through.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. We definitely appreciate that. And we're glad that you're doing that, because this type of information for other patients, for other people, is just so valuable. I mean, you know, can't say enough about it. I love the fact that there are people like yourself just willing to put it all out there, because if you can help one person to realize, hey, first of all, you're not alone, and secondly, try this, try that. I've tried this, that. I mean, it's a good networking opportunity for people with different conditions. I am very happy that I saw you on TikTok.
Yeah, and since you decided to put that on social media, what was the response? What have people been saying about your videos?
The response has been amazing. There are way more patients out there than I thought who have intestinal failure. They've hit a complete wall with the medical system. And I hear quite often people saying that they or their child, they have hope again because
they've seen
that this is possible and that their life isn't just over, that there's another avenue to explore, even something as crazy as this.
Right. That's amazing. And it, again, as Lita was saying, you know, we started out this podcast so that we could share, not we, but people such as yourself could share their stories and hopefully impact our, you know, other, our listeners. So this journey you've been on, it's your journey, but obviously you didn't do it alone.
No.
Your family, you alluded to earlier, how did your friends and family help you as you were going through this and now with your recovery?
Well, I mean, my family's been there every step of the way, and I'm sure it was incredibly difficult to watch me as I lost more and more of my life. But that's one of the things that's been really exciting about this is, like, especially my parents, they get to really experience life again too, because they can stop worrying about me for the first time in
20 years, right?
Well over a decade. And so it's amazing to see them start to travel again and get to go out in the world and just release some of the tension that they've been holding on, helping to take care of me. I've been entirely reliant upon my family for the past 20 years. And at last, I finally get to go out into the world and hopefully create my own life. But I wouldn't be here without them. I'm incredibly lucky that they've been so patient with me. And especially during the harder times, I definitely wasn't always the easiest person to live with. And they've always provided me with company and companionship and always stuck by me. And I don't know what I would have done without them. And I also have had a few close-knit friends who have always helped provide that company too. And it helped give me the will to keep going, to keep hoping that there was something in the future that was worth keep pushing through each hard day.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Right, for sure. Because, you know, when it all came upon you at the age of 15... I mean, that's a hard age for any kid, and to go through what you had to go through. I mean, God bless your family, must have been strong to help you get through that.
Mm-hmm. I had a lot of promise at the time, and it all just disappeared in the course of a few years as my health
got
worse.
But a lot of it too, and it from the talk that we're having, Zach, a lot of it too is your mental outlook. And I heard you say earlier you weren't always the easiest to live with. And that's definitely understandable, especially when you're going through that much pain for so long. But in the short time that we've been speaking here now, I sense a lot of gratitude, obviously. But I also sense a lot of positive outlook. And that is key for future successes.
And that's hard. That's the hard thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to be excited about the future, but I do have to admit there's a lot of fear just starting life from scratch halfway through. I feel very behind and I don't know exactly what I want to do. I've at least figured out I want to go back to school, and I guess I'm going to figure out and just live as I go.
Right. Every day is
right.
A gift.
Right.
Every day is a gift.
Zach, what are some of the less obvious parts of your life that are affected by organ donation?
I guess just even the small things, getting to travel again is definitely something that's pretty exciting. I haven't really traveled in 12 years now.
Right. How far is the hospital from where your folks lived or where you lived?
Well, Ottawa is a 4 to 5 hour drive away from here.
Okay.
So it's a smaller, much more close-knit town. And Toronto's very large, very, very spread out. I do have some family, but not close by because Toronto's such a large city.
Mm-hmm. So how much time do you have to spend in Toronto? Because I know you said you wanted to stay close to the hospital and the doctors. How much time do you need to spend there before you can go home and more so get treated or seen by physicians in your
locally,
hometown?
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to have to make trips back to Toronto, but in order mm-hmm. to get back with your life, going back to Ottawa, mm-hmm. How long?
Well, I'm going to stay here for around 6 months.
Okay. So a couple more months.
Just make sure everything's going well. Okay. But, you know, some people it's shorter, some people it's longer. But I will be coming back several times a year to check in.
Right.
And there will be plenty virtual calls with the doctors to make sure. Plus, I have a team in Ottawa that will be following me closely.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Zach, I'm sorry. What advice do you have for somebody that's on the waiting list to receive an organ donation?
Just patience. It's going to be here sooner than you know it. And while you're waiting, you want it to happen. But when it happens, it's the scariest thing that you're going to go through in your life. So just take the time to get all your ducks in a row. And because while it's happening, it's going to feel you're waiting, it's going to feel like forever. But once it gets there, all that time is going to disappear in an instant.
How much time was there between when they told you you will have a better quality of life with a transplant and the time that you actually got your organs?
Well, when I first started looking into transplant, I first heard about it in my 20s. So there were well over 12 years until I finally got the transplant. But when I finally started to go on the road to transplant, COVID got in the way. That put things off for about 2.5 years. But I started going through the assessment process. From the assessment process to transplant took about almost 2 years, I'd say.
Wow.
And when I got on the actual listing, that was a little under 8 months, actually. So there's a few different time periods there.
Right. But that says a lot for the hospital that they were
yes.
able to transplant you that quickly, because that is
yes.
a very quick turnaround for any transplant. But that's amazing that they could do it really in that quick.
We're very fortunate here in Canada. We have a really good organ procurement system here.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, Zach, what's the best advice that you've received for living with chronic health conditions? I know you said you have an amazing team of doctors. What did they tell you? And you also mentioned that you had met a gentleman who had four
mm-hmm.
different organs transplanted. Did that gentleman give you any advice?
Well, for the doctors, definitely... like knowledge is key. You got to get out there. You got to, fortunately, we have the internet now as a way to connect. So just with transplant, one of the things that really helped me both in terms of information and in terms of connection and helped with the fear was finding people and groups that had gone through similar situations. So anyone looking for intestinal transplant and looking into that, I would highly suggest Transplant Unwrapped online. They do a they have an amazing just wealth of knowledge on the website, and they also do a monthly virtual support group, which I still attend. Fantastic. And that's a key part. Even while I was sick before transplant, I would go to a medical conference every year to meet with other patients, and I would keep up with them throughout the years. And that was one of the things that helped kept me going, was knowing that I wasn't alone.
Excellent.
And then this this other patient, he just helped give me hope, knowing that it was possible, knowing that we live in an incredible age. The longer you survive, the better the odds are going to get at this point. So it is worth surviving, and it is worth keeping going on, and things are changing rapidly.
Zach, what additional tips, hints, or advice do you have for somebody having a severe gastrointestinal medical condition?
Before you get to a situation like I did with intestinal failure, diet is key. So everyone's diet is going to be a little bit different. Definitely take some time to see what works for you and figure out what your best diet is and stick to it, because that will certainly hugely affect things, whether you have celiac or any number of other issues. Your diet is going to be a huge, huge part of the problem. Exercise always helps with it as well. And stress is a major thing that will make your disease worse over time. So try to keep that as low as possible.
Good advice.
Go seek out information. Go seek out other people with similar problems and collaborate.
Fantastic.
Excellent advice.
Yeah. Well, Zach, thanks so much for coming on today. It was really enlightening to hear all of this, and we appreciate you sharing, you know, your personal information regarding your journey. For our listeners out there that want to learn more about you, do you have any way that people can get a hold of you? YouTube channel, TikTok, Instagram.
Yeah, my TikTok, which is Zach Can't Eat, although I guess I have to change that now. So ZACCANTEAT. And then on Instagram, Zachary_Colton. And I'm just starting a YouTube, so that still has yet to get off the ground. But
all right, good.
That would be under my name, Zachary.
We'll put links for your social media account on our website.
We really
appreciate it. Thank you so much, Zach. And
thanks for having me on.
Thank you. If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. through our website, podcastdx.com. We're also on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, and TikTok.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.